The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right. Welcome, everybody, or welcome back, as the case may be. It's going to be such a news-heavy week, and man, it's just, I need extra hours. I don't know. I just have so many things to keep track of, but no matter how busy and target-rich the environment becomes, there's always room to take a look at other things that are of interest to people or address some things that come up, and this is exactly such a moment. If you're kind of a 9 a.m. hour listener, that means on Friday you got to delight to the always, always riveting thrill of our chats with Ted Nugent. So whenever you have Ted on, oh, you're going to talk some rock and roll. Oh, you're going to talk some politics. You're going to talk some hunting. You absolutely are. And sort of where politics meet hunting is where Ted described something. And then after we were done with that segment, State Senator Bob Hall called us. Clock was ticking toward the end of the show. The cellular gods were not smiling. So it's like, look, let's get the weekend underway. Let's call Bob back and sort of cover what that wildlife management overreach issue was, because we talk about everything around here. And then since it's the Texas Senate and since it's Bob Hall, I have a feeling there are a few things otherwise that we can talk about as well. So the 2nd District of Texas, if you don't know, yeah, there's some, there's a little chunk of Dallas County, a little chunk of Rockwall, but then it fans out to Fannin and Delta and Hopkins and Hunt and Kaufman and other parts of God's country here in Texas. 2nd District Senator Bob Hall is here. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
Thank you, Mark. I'm doing just fine today.
It is wonderful to have you. So let's hit the reset button. Leading up to when Ted was on the show, he said, look, Mark, I'm always glad to talk about whatever in the world you want. And I love talking politics, love talking rock and roll, kill it and grill it. Just love it. Because, hey, it's Ted Nugent. But he has had as a passion of late some stories of crazy overreach by the Texas state government. And obviously Texas, where we like to think that we're level headed around here and we don't go nuts too often. But do me a favor, explain it to me like I'm five. What was his issue, and which is also shared by you, things you're trying to fix as well, as far as wildlife management run amok?
Okay. I'll try to give you the 30,000 foot description of it. Is what we find here is a section of our state government has been weaponized and basically is weaponized to interfere in the free market. And this market happens to be in the hunting market, where there are really kind of divide the deer out there into two groups. You've got free range deer, white-tailed deer that are on all the ranches all over Texas that people have hunted forever. And then there's a group called deer breeders. And these are folks who have said, you know, we can breed deer to be bigger and big antlers, big meat, lots of meat, big deer, and so on with breeding. Other states have done that. That's a neat business. Mm-hmm. And in the early 2000s, the state said, hey, this will be a boon for our economy. Let's get this going. And so we welcome in the deer breeders, and they started breeding the deer, and it grew, and it got up to about 1,600 deer breeders with well over 100,000 of these deer. But the ranchers business of hunting wild white deer on their ranches, they didn't like it. It took away from them, and they did not want to see it happening.
Were the people who are doing the deer breeding bigger deer, were they breeding them with the goal of making them available for hunting?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's what it was. You'd go, and you'd pay big bucks, and you pay $20,000 to $50,000 to shoot one of these big hummers with 12, 14 points, and 2-3-4 times the size of a normal Texas deer. And gotcha. People just really went after that. And so it was cutting into what the ranchers had in their deer business. And it also from a philosophy of you're messing with nature, you know, you shouldn't be doing something like that. Some of those folks sprinkled in there. Mm-hmm. And then all around about around 2014, they discovered a case of what's called CWD, chronic wasting disease. It's a disease. It's been around for years. I was introduced to it about 25 years ago when I was working up in Wisconsin. They had it up there, and it's been around. It's a disease that affects the deer's brain, and they say that what it does, it tells the deer you're not hungry. And so the deer just waste away, just never bothers to eat. And so it wastes away over time. But they found a case of it out in Medina County. And then they said, well, they started to look into it. And they initially required testing. And the only testing that they would allow at that time was post-mortem. So when they told a deer breeder he had to test, they had to test about 30% of their herd. They had to kill 30% of their herd and send the brains in. For testing. And so sure enough... they didn't have it. Well, since that time, later they came up with this movement plan that forced the breeders to test all deer that they had, and that's when CWD started accelerating. And then to date, here they've tested. I think the best number I've got is over 337,778. And the number of deer they've tested positive out of that is like a couple of hundred. There are more, about 600, but 400 of those were on two specific ranches. Mm-hmm. So you got less than 0.2% of the deer have had CWD.
Okay, a couple of things. So the chronic wasting disease, was it afflicting the engineered deer or the natural whitetails?
Whitetail and engineered.
So it didn't discriminate.
But it started with the whitetail.
It started with the whitetail. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So what does this smell like? Does it smell like bureaucratic tilting of the playing field toward the natural whitetail ranchers because they're upset at the engineered fatter deer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's absolutely what is happening. And it appears that the spread of it has actually been caused by Texas Parks and Wildlife. When they required the testing, they did manage to get them to move to some live testing, and there were two of them, one either tonsils or a rectum test, and it took special tools to do it. And they were testing a large number of the deer, but in the field with animals like that, the veterinarians are not real good about being real sanitized from one test to the next. And so we now believe that there's good evidence that the increase in the spread of it, what has been, which is still not that big, but Parks and Wildlife will make it out to be, was actually caused by the Parks and Wildlife requiring the live testing to take place. Right.
So what is what's in it for Parks and Wildlife? Why would they be attempting to trump up a scare of a disease?
Because I think you get a lot of pressure from the ranchers. There's a lot of political pressure in this. To put the deer breeders out of business.
Gotcha. Okay.
Put them out of business. That's, you know, or make it so painful for them that they almost non-exist. And it's expected. I mean, we're down from, 1,600? We're down to about 500 of them now. Mm-hmm. And the deer population is about cut in half of the breeder deer out there. So they're being effective in doing this. But I think they have greatly overreached what the purpose of government is. And are basically part of the problem themselves. Gotcha.
So the conservative free market Texas flavored solution would seem to be let everybody do what you want. If you want to breed deer in a certain way, we're going to let you. Let the hunting public hunt wherever they wish. Marketplace will do whatever it does. That's sort of what we're yearning for here.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Just let the free market take care of itself.
I sympathize. I mean, so I guess the people go, oh, you know, great. You know, I guess I'm not a whitetail deer ranch owner being put out of business by the bigger, fatter engineered. I mean, I guess is that like the buggy whip manufacturer? Like, sorry, we invented the car.
Yeah, right it is, but they're also being, you know, exceptionally cruel in it. We have one rancher who they gotten a kill order for him, but he went to court and he had a court hearing set up. Let's say it was on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Well, Parks and Wildlife accelerated what they call depopulation. I call it execution plan. And they went in at midnight the night before and killed the entire herd. And see, they do this at night with lights and high-powered rifle with a deer in a pen. It's not even in consistent with good ethics of animal execution. And then told the judge the next day, Judge, we don't need to come to the hearing because the herd has been depopulated.
How convenient. How convenient.
Yeah.
And all right, so I don't know where this ranks on the list of things we need to poll the legislature about, but I learn something every day, and I appreciate this. So how do you feel about this? How does Dade feel about this? How does Ken Paxton feel about this? Are the lines drawn on this? Are folks paying attention to it?
I think it's one of those things that's under the radar of most people.
Uh-huh.
I think very few are even aware of this issue at all. Those that I have talked to about it, you know, have about the same reaction you did. This is not right.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get back to the free market system and government doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Gotcha. So
there's a whole lot more to this we could talk about.
I appreciate it. So to tie a bow around this and then get to a couple other things for a couple of minutes, State Senator Bob Hull with us. The folks we're going to bat for here are deer breeders who want to participate in the free market, and I guess the hunting public that should have a choice over which deer they want to go after.
Absolutely.
Those seem to be the folks we're going to. All right. So thank you for the tutorial on that. So how's everything else going? what do you think? What did March 5th mean to you? What do you think it meant? And how are these runoffs going to go? And is change afoot in the Texas political wind? What's your overview of what's going on before us here?
I think we've already, no matter what happens in the runoffs, even going forward, the changes in the House are significant in the numbers of new folks with a somewhat different attitude, approach to things will be in the House. Whatever happens with the Speaker's race, it's not going to be the same when it goes back in with the number of folks that are in there already and with the possibility of there being probably close to 30 new House members, all of kind of the same thought process in the House. That's significant, and particularly the personality of some of them that have a tremendous ability to express themselves verbally, such as Mitch Little and Shelley Luther joining forces with people like Nate Schatzline and Brian Harrison and Steve Toth and then Mike Alcott, just to name just a couple of them, very, very gifted people in the ability to express themselves. It's going and with courage. These are folks that actually have the courage to stand up to their convictions. That's one of the things that we seem to be short on in a lot of places, of people being able to stand with their convictions no matter what they are. And so I see the House operating differently. In the Senate, we're not much of a change coming there. We got one new senator for now, possibly one other down in the Valley could flip a Democrat to a Republican seat. The Republican down there only lost by very few votes last time around.
In the vacancy, do you have any rooting interest over whether you have a colleague in Brent Higginbotham or J.C. Yarbrough in 30?
I think either one of them will be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're different, and of course they do have folks polarized. But I would be good with either one of them.
Gotcha.
I think they will be just fine.
And that of course is a vacancy caused by the exit of Drew Springer, who I've always liked. Did Paxton just break Drew? What the heck happened to him with this? Let's impeach him again. I mean, dude, what?
I don't know that I can't get inside some of these heads on some of the thinking like that. what happened there, I honestly, I have no clue.
Yeah, no, don't need to mind read. Winds are gonna shift. Things are gonna change. Texas may seem to become a little less conservative at times, a little more conservative at others. Winner's gonna win, loser's gonna lose. I am noticing, and God bless him, I want him to be okay. You mentioned Mike Olcott, who beat Glenn Rogers, and Glenn just cannot shut up. I mean, the sour grapes, the people are stupid, the evil billionaires have us all in their thrall. I know it's hard when your views, like against school choice, in favor of Dade Phelan, in favor of Paxton impeachment, when voters don't like those things, that's a tough nut to swallow. But are you noticing just a kind of an ongoing sour grapes fussing and moaning campaign from those who are on the short end of the current stick?
Oh, absolutely. And you hear it on those that are currently running or the other side that are supported by some of the same folks and totally ignoring the groups with a lot of money that were on their side.
Thank you.
And provided them a ton of money that have definitely have other than conservative interest, let's put it that way. In mind, in wanting to get them elected, there was a good reason for the folks donating on each side. One group wanted to push us to the middle, and the other side wants to rein us back and keep us on the right, on the conservative side. But the folks that want to pull us to the middle, they kind of get ignored, and they're allowed to do it without being called out.
Yeah, that money is just fine.
yeah, that's okay that we did that. It's okay.
Oh, Lordy. I knew it would be a multi-topic visit, and I knew we would benefit from it. State Senator, second district, first in our hearts, Bob Hall. Always a pleasure. Thank you very, very much. I know we'll be talking soon, and I always enjoy when we do.
Thank you, Mark. I always enjoy being with you. Very very much appreciative of the kind words. God bless you and all those that help you do what you do. Keep at it.
Thank you, sir. State Senator Bob Hall, Mark Davis, 924. All right. Let us cruise into the news, and then let's talk a little bit about paying attention to certain types of anti-Semitism. There were certain types of Jew-hating that the Biden administration was all about identifying, all about singling out, all about speaking against. And by the way, good for them for doing so. But there are other types of Jew-hating that don't seem to get this White House all that worked up. Let's compare those and work our way through a few other issues in the home stretch half hour. Why don't you grab a line at 866-660-5759. We'll hop to your calls next as well. I'm Mark Davis in the newsroom. Right here is Nikki Whaley.
Lines on my head from that one thing she said.
So I know that when you go to Frampton Comes Alive,
she spoke of strangers.
You're going to spend about 14 minutes on the live staple that is Do You Feel Like We Do? But if you only have half that amount of time, if you only got 7 minutes, do a little Lines on My Face. Just a magnificent, magnificent record on Frampton Comes Alive. It's Pete's birthday!
So where you came from, call out your name. There's no answer.
The great Peter Frampton is 74. And freshly inducted, about doggone time, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All righty, 866-660-5759. Tale of two examples of anti-Semitism. When, such a weird, horrible day that was, it turned into it anyway. Charlottesville. Where the tensions that arose over Robert E. Lee statues, and Lord knows we had our share of those, even in Dallas, in Charlottesville, in the summer of 2017, there were folks who had gathered, and yes, there were fine people on both sides, of the debate over whether the statues needed to be yanked down. All right. Some said, we got to get rid of them. Wrong side of history, blah, blah, blah. Others said, look, it's not advocacy of slavery to have a Robert E. Lee statue. It's an acknowledgement of history, blah, blah, blah. And you could have that debate. It, however, wound up being quite the magnet for the sliver of humanity that is actual white supremacy. Obviously, that is the obsession of today's left. If you're any manner of conservative, you pretty well are a white supremacist. But, of course, actual white supremacists do exist, and they came out of their tiny little cave, and they said, let's go to Charlottesville. And that's where you get these bug-eyed guys with the tiki torches. You know, Jews will not replace us. Oh, good grief. What? So, oh, by the way, tiki torch. You know what a tiki torch is, right? You know who really did not enjoy Charlottesville? The tiki torch people. Tiki torch is apparently like Kleenex, Scotch tape, Xerox. It's a genericization when you use a term. Not all transparent tape is Scotch tape. Not every copy machine is Xerox. Or maybe the most famous one in Texas, get me a Coke. What kind of Coke do you want? Orange soda. What? Anyway, so the tiki torch people distanced from that. I don't know what the generic term is for those torches, I guess. So anyway, so Joe Biden makes constant reference to that. And by the way, all good-hearted people should say, wow, that was Jew-hating. That's not good. Where is the Biden White House on the rampant, broad, pernicious, pervasive Jew-hating on display of thousands and thousands of people engaged in these pro-Hamas demonstrations on college campuses? Where's the Biden White House on that? I mean, if hatred of Jews is bad, and I'd like to stipulate that it is, you know, where's the opposition to them? And of course, you know the answer to that, because if those folks are not actually in the Democrat base, those passions, those anti-Israeli passions, are a big, big, big part of, I don't know, the Dearborn, Michigan vote, the Rashida Tlaib, AOC squad style advocacy. There's a Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. And so Biden has to tiptoe, or whoever's running the country or running his campaign, has to tiptoe very gingerly through that. All righty, 866-660-5759. Let's do a little multi-topic home stretch, see what people are thinking about. We are in Canton. Jennifer, hey, Mark Davis, happy Monday. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
I just had a question. I was Bob Hall's my state senator, and mm-hmm. I've called him. I've called several people. My husband went to go get cars inspected, mm-hmm. and he was talking to the guy and said, hey, what are y'all going to do next year when y'all don't have to do this anymore? And he said, oh, you know, I don't know, something about it. And he goes to pay the registration. We still have, starting in 2025,
yep.
you still have to pay the registration, I mean, the inspection fee, even though you're not getting your car inspected.
That is correct. That $750 is not going away.
And I'm sorry. The whole thing, I think it was Don Heffines who said something that, oh, this is, you know, it was not a good thing that we were having inspections.
Well,
we,
no,
like
and your own set and Bob Hall, Heffines yeah. and Bob Hall yeah. were very but much a key in getting rid of inspections.
Yeah, but we still have to pay for it.
Exactly. And you know where it goes? It now goes to the Texas Mobility Fund, the Clean Air Account, and, of course, the General Revenue Fund. Government will okay. rarely say, oh, stop giving us money for that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And by the way, when they do those inspections, my husband knows the guy that was doing it. He says, yeah, we make maybe a dollar on an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he said, anyway. But I think it's ridiculous that we still have to pay for an yeah. infection we're not getting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely true. Wise to point it out. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very, very much. We are in Lucas, Texas. Steve. Hey, Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Mark. I hope you are, too.
I am indeed.
All right. I'd like to ask for a basic primer. I'm relatively new to your show, and I've got to tell you, I love it.
Thank
I wish
you.
I'd discovered it before.
You're very kind.
Okay. So, Speaker of the House, Helen. Is that Phelan? How do you pronounce it?
It is. Well, it's Phelan, but it is Phelan as in F-A-I-L-I-N apostrophe if you are Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Okay, here's here's the primer I'd like, if you would.
Yes.
He obviously got elected. How did he get elected? Did he run on a program, and then did he betray his program? And if he is reelected into his House seat, what are his chances of getting reelected as Speaker?
Gotcha. Okay, let's start with the easy one. That's going to be zero. Even if he manages to survive his runoff against David Covey down there in Beaumont in Texas District 21, he will not be Speaker of the House anymore. So that's comforting in some regard. Will he survive that runoff? People don't tend to survive runoffs. Incumbents tend to get a wake-up call when they're dragged into a runoff. It means more than half the voters didn't want you. And so then voters tend to feel like there's blood in the water, let's finish the job. And that seems to be what's the writing on the wall for Dade. But Democrats have a vested interest in keeping him as Speaker because he's very Democrat-friendly in a lot of ways. So you may get that pesky crossover voting of Democrats coming to Dade's rescue on May 28th. And if he wins, that will be why he won. How did he get elected in the first place? Because the whole manner of speaking of, hey, it's a big body, a lot of people, 150 members of the House. If there are, you know, that Joe Strauss used this a lot as well. Others have also. But what made it, and we all kind of went, as long as the results tend to be fairly conservative, whatever, you throw a couple of Democrats, some committee chairmanships, whatever, you know, that's the price of admission. But everything, and not that the Paxton impeachment changed everything, but it was just one of a number of things, and this past session was another, where school choice got railroaded, where some border things were hogtied, that where people's eyes were open about the degree to which there is an Austin swamp. And Dade is the wizard of that swamp, and that has caused his stock to drop precipitously.
Ooh, now I get it. Austin swamp. I get it. I'm very well versed in national politics, but you're getting me versed really well.
Well, I'm glad to. Where did you? How long you been? Where'd you come from?
Well, moved all around with the dad who had a corporate job, moved all around. But gotcha. I've been in Texas since 1996.
Oh, gotcha. Cool. I just stumbled across the show.
Just call me foolish.
No. I will call you Steve and call you friend. And listen, that's what I'll call you. You call us anytime. It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for your kind words. 866-660-5759. We are in Cleburne. Neville, Mark Davis, happy Monday. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Howdy.
You mentioned Charlottesville, and I've been reading Blood Money by Peter Schweizer.
Yes.
Any time that there's a protest, China will provide people and funding for these obscure groups. And basically, they don't even care which side, as long as they can just make more divisiveness and more negativity in America, they'll do it.
Yeah, and I think that's from China and Russia, a lot of their online mischief. We're divided enough, things are tense enough, there are going to be political differences, and that's fine. But the degree to which they are stoked and sort of kerosene thrown on the fire, other countries like it when we are needlessly torn apart. And so, yeah, there are plenty of marionette strings working there.
You know, they exploit any kind of a problem going on. And when you think about it, I think it was somebody in Israel said, if you can get 8% of the population, up in a roar about something, you can affect change, even with just a small percentage of the people, because it seems like they're a lot bigger than they really are.
Absolutely true. I mean, what percentage of people in America do you actually think believe that it's okay to carve up a child's healthy bodies for transgender mania? That is so incredibly radical. But the people who are in favor of this, and the foolish folks who feel that they must be allied with that, if they are loud enough and persistent enough, and if they are sprinkled strategically through the culture so that the people who make our movies and make our music and make our TV shows are hammering this stuff down onto us, it can make it seem like at least half the country, if not more, are in favor of it. This is precisely how it works out, man. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it greatly. All righty. Trump trial day one. Oop, there's that too. So here was Bree Jackson this morning with on NBC, a little bit of a preview.
And so the former president, as you know, is facing 34 counts of falsifying business records. Prosecutors, we're told, will begin to make their case that Mr. Trump made a $130,000 payment ahead of the 2016 election to keep Stormy Daniels quiet about an alleged sexual encounter.
And that's a non-disclosure agreement, and those aren't illegal. And payments to his attorney, his then attorney, Michael Cohen. Would you say that a payment to an attorney is a legal expense? Silly me, I would.
Now, a source with direct knowledge of the situation tells NBC News that David Pecker will be the first witness for the prosecution beginning today. Pecker is the former publisher of the National Enquirer and is alleged to have squashed stories about Trump before the election back in 2016. Now, other witnesses we could see called are Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, who was Mr. Trump's attorney at the time, and Hope Hicks, a former close aide to former President Trump.
So here we go. And just once again, I'll sort of come full circle. I was beefing about this in our visit with Mike Gallagher. It is an absolute outrage that there are not cameras in this courtroom. We are going to have to rely on reporters and the ever more bizarre courtroom sketch artist handiwork to know what's going on in this courtroom. There should be cameras there. This is the public's business. And the threadbare, contrived nature of this case should be laid out for everybody to see. And you know why that's not happening. All righty, 9:50. Wichita lineman. 1968, the great Glenn Campbell. Would have been 88 today, passed away back in 2017. Jimmy Webb wrote this. Jimmy Webb's still alive. He's 76. He wrote this when he's 22. Yikes. What a genius. Glenn Campbell went to Jimmy Webb and said, yeah, that by the time I get to Phoenix thing, that worked out well for me.
And I need you more.
Can you give me another sort of heart-rending, or as they say in Maryland, heart-rendering song with a kind of a geographical hook? So Jimmy Webb is driving through Oklahoma and saw a long line of telephone poles, and there's a guy up top, and he thought that looked like the loneliest guy in the world. So you imagine somebody up there on one of those poles tapping in and being able to, you know, talk to his woman. That's how you get Wichita lineman. For producer Ron DeKay Moreland on the old X Twitter at producer Ron DeKay, RONDA capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families, and happy birthday, Ethan. 21. Go figure. Mike Gallagher is next. See you in the morning.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.